What's up, everybody? My name is Lee. Some of you guys might know me as Intuition, and you are tuned in to Kinda Neat. Thank you guys for tuning in, as always. You know the drill. If you are a weekly listener and you're listening right now and you have a strange, guilty sensation tingling up the spine, up to the nape of your neck, and the little hairs on your neck are standing up because you just feel guilty, you should go ahead and go to patreon.com/kindaneat, because that probably means that you are listening and leeching and not pledging. Go pledge. Pledge a dollar an episode. You don't have to, but I want you to. I want you to because we're friends. I want you to because I tell you everything about myself and about these musicians, and you haven't done nothing for me. I'm just kidding. You guys do everything for me, but just go to patreon.com/kindaneat. Pledge a dollar per episode. That is $4 a month approximately, and it keeps the lights on around here. It's like buying me a coffee every month, and it helps us. It just helps our plight. It gets us paid for this thing that we do out of love. At this point, if you are tuned in and you're a Knight Lavelle fan and you're tuning in for the first time, welcome. I hope you guys enjoy the podcast. Just an FYI, you can fast forward until you hear a beat. When you hear a beat drop, hold on, there are sirens. That's how you know this podcast is real as fuck, because there's sirens. If you hear a beat as you fast forward, that's when the interview is going to start. Knight Lavelle is he's a nice young gentleman of 19 out of Ottawa, Canada, and he makes dark underground rap music, and it's dope. He's got a really good ear for beats. His newest project that came out in June, called Red Teenage Melody, is a very easy listen. It breezes right by, and it is enjoyable. Speaking of breezes, I just have a few short stories and things to shout out. First thing I want to shout out is, speaking of breezes, Breezy Lovejoy, formerly known as Breezy Lovejoy, now known as Anderson .Paak, just put out Yes Law, the No Worries project with him and Knowledge. And if you guys remember, about 2 years ago, we put out a video for Suede that we had to take down because it was just not the right time yet. And this is the record that it's on. And I got to tell you, it's crazy that it came out 2 years later, but it was worth the wait. The record is absolutely amazing. So Anderson .Paak, Yes Lord, with No Worries, go fucking check that out. I have had it on repeat. It's really cool, like, to see this dude that I met so long ago, who I was always on some, like, so talented, so much potential, like, is gonna be amazing, to now being able to just see him be amazing is fucking awesome. Like, this is a fully realized project, and it is so good. Other than that, a funny thing that I wanted to talk to you about real quickly was the iOS 10 update has been fucking with me, in that I keep accidentally sending, like, weird horny texts to, like, rappers that I'm trying to get on the show, and it's kind of fucking me up. And the reason being is that with the update now, when you get a text, you know, it pops up in that pop-up window, like, on top of everything, and you can kind of click that and respond and whatever, whatever. And so you can be texting with someone back and forth in that little window for, like, a long period of time. But then if you want to, like, want to send a text back to them after you've already responded in that window, and you open your phone and go to the messages app, it sometimes will automatically open to the last person that you texted in app. So even though I've been, like, at some points I'll have been texting back and forth with my girl on that window for, like, you know, 10 minutes or something, and then I have another thought or something that I want to send, and I'll open the fucking app and then just send a text message, and it'll accidentally go to somebody else. And that's happened to me a few times just in general, but there are two funny times where, like, I accidentally sent some rappers. Like, I sent somebody a drawing. It was like, you know how you can draw on the app now? So I tried to draw a drawing of, like, you know, when you stick your fingers up in the A-OK sign, like, everything's A-OK, and then you have the little finger pointed at it, and so it makes, like, a vulgar gesture. I was trying to sexually harass my girlfriend like that by making that, but I did it as a drawing, and it ended up looking like a fucking chicken sucking a dick or something. Like, it looked like a rooster with a dick in its mouth. It was a terrible drawing. I'm not going to lie. It was a horrible drawing, but I accidentally ended up sending it to a rapper, and I was like, oh shit, my bad, dude. Like, I was supposed to go to my girl, but it was like, you know, the app had fucked with me and that was the last person I had texted. And then even though on the outside I had been texting her back and forth. So that was one. And I was like very embarrassed, and thankfully he was understanding, like, oh no, don't worry about it, you know, da 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 da. And then it happened another time where she's texting me in the bubble, blah, blah, blah. We're going back and forth. And she says something like, you know, kind of cheeky or whatever. And I said, oh my God, you're so horny. Like as a joke, like as a sarcastic joke, not as a serious sext or anything. And I accidentally sent it to Rob Stone. And it was like when he was on the way to the studio. And I'm like, I had talked to him before previously. And I think he knew that I'm not like a sus boy or anything like that. But it was like, he didn't respond fast enough to where it was like, LOL, no big deal. Like it lingered for a while, and it was with invisible ink. And if you have that iPhone update and you know, the invisible ink, you have to like touch it to reveal the message. So like immediately after, it was like, I'm like mortified, like, oh fuck, man, I'm sorry. I was supposed to send that. I was trying to send that to my girl. I like did not mean to send that to you. My bad. And, you know, hope everything's cool for you. It was like while he was on the way to the studio. So I'm like, oh, I hope everything's cool. Like da, 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 da. And he's like, didn't respond for like 20 minutes. And I'm thinking like, oh fuck. Like, I hope that didn't like weird him out. He's not going to come now. And, he responded back afterwards, like, LOL, you're straight. Don't worry about it. But it was just a funny moment. And that like keeps consistently happening to me. And so I'm very worried that at some point I'm going to be having a text message with somebody and then want to talk shit about that text message to somebody else. And I'll accidentally end up sending the shit talking person or the text to the person that I'm talking shit about or something, because that's just the kind of asshole that I am. And I wouldn't put it past myself. So if you have iOS 10, be careful, because that new text messaging update will fuck with you. What else happened? Oh, I have a funny story about my friend Adam from Ham on Everything that he didn't want me to tweet about. Like, he told me to delete the tweet, but I'm going to do it here because I know he doesn't listen to the podcast and it's fine. So don't tweet at him about this. But he's been doing this MTV Wonderland thing where he's MTV kind of has him help out with getting the crowd to show up, because of course Ham on Everything is like super has super popping crowds show up, and they're doing a live performance thing on MTV called Wonderland that they want, you know, legitimate looking LA fun havers to come through. So he's at Wonderland last week, and Steve Aoki was the guest, and Steve Aoki brought like a ton of people. I Love McConan and Blink-182 and Little John and all these people. And so it's like all these legends in the house just walking around Wonderland and shit. Because it's like this big city block in LA that they shut down. And so at one point I'm there helping out, and Adam posts this picture on Instagram with just him and some like random middle-aged white dude with a mohawk who I had seen walking backstage previously and was like, oh, that's not, and I was like, oh no, that's not somebody. So Adam ends up posting a picture with that guy. And I'm like, I just saw that guy backstage, and that's like not anybody. I'm like, and then I read his comments, and they're all going like, oh my God, so jealous. He didn't tag anybody in it, so I didn't know. Like, there was no caption and no tag. And people are going like, oh my God, so jealous. Like, oh, I wish I was there. Oh, I can't believe you got a picture with him. And I'm going, who the fuck is that guy? So I text Adam, and I'm like, yo, who's that guy on Instagram you just posted? And he goes, it's Mark Hoppus, dude. And I'm like, we just photographed Mark Hoppus like last December or something. I have a pretty good idea of what he looks like in real life. And you know, and I'm like, that's not Mark Hoppus. And he goes, yeah, it is. And I'm like, unless he got like some kind of major plastic surgery over the last fucking 8 months, like that's not Mark Hoppus, I swear to you. And he sends me a screen cap of like a bunch of Google image searches of like when you Google image search Mark Hoppus, he sends me the screen cap of that. And I go, yeah, dude, those aren't the same people. And then I go to his Mark Hoppus's Instagram and I look at the last picture that he posted, which was from the day before. And I screen cap that and send it. And I say, look, that's not the same dude. His hair's black, you know, and he doesn't have a fucking mohawk. And he's like, no, dude, I swear it's him. And I go, and then finally he sent one more picture of Mark Hoppus to try and prove that it was Mark Hoppus. And it was the nail in the coffin, because there was a clear picture of both of their ears, or of Mark Hoppus's ears, and no earrings. And the guy in the picture happened to be wearing like real big hoop earrings. And I said, dude, Look at his ears. There's no fucking earrings. Like, that's not Mark Hoppus. Like, that's just a random dude you asked to take a picture with. And he's like, oh, fuck, I'm going to delete it now. So it just speaks to the power of the fact that, I don't know what it speaks to the power of the fact of anything, to be honest. I just was like saying something random and that made no sense. But it's hilarious to me that people just assumed that since he was at a show where Blink-182 was going to be there, that they're all like, oh my God, I'm jealous of that guy who I'm assuming is Mark Hoppus, but I have no fucking idea. And it was just also funny that Adam was like, oh, well, here's this random like punk rock looking dude backstage. Must be Mark Hoppus, even though I clearly know that Adam knows what Mark Hoppus looks like. And so then he had made the mistake of like sending me the picture of the dude in my text message. So I tried to format it as a tweet that I thought was hilarious. And he was like instantly, man, delete that tweet, please, man. So Adam, if this gets back to you, the fact of the matter is you got to laugh at yourself because that shit was pretty funny to me. What else? I covered those two things. Oh, another thing. I'm going camping this weekend, which I'm very excited about. I know that I am getting obnoxious, and in every intro I'm talking about my girl this, my girl that. It's a new thing for me to have a girlfriend that I speak openly about, man. So I'm pretty hyped. But it's her birthday week this week, and I, as a gift, bought a camping setup because she likes camping, and I like camping, and I haven't gone camping in forever, so I didn't have any camping gear, so I fucking bought a tent and a couple sleeping bags and some pads, like sleeping pads, and you know, all kinds of manly shit, fucking twine and lanterns and all kinds of stuff. And we are gonna take a 7-hour drive and go camping. And I'm looking forward to that because I grew up camping a lot, but I kind of also realized, oh, whoops, when I was camping as a kid, I was never the guy setting anything up because I was like anywhere between the ages of 8 and 16 and was with adults, you know? So I had never been the guy actually setting up the tent. I was just the one enjoying the campfire and stuff like that. So I've been obsessing. I obsess over things. And so I've been like just going down a wormhole of like camping videos on YouTube of like how to tie various knots and set up a ridge line and like what to do if it starts raining, how to guy line your tent, and all this stuff. And like, I got to say, YouTube has made me like an excellent survivalist all of a sudden. And I think that I might end up on Naked and Afraid or something because your boy is tying up them knots around these bands, even though I never was a Cub Scout. But yeah, so I'm going camping and I couldn't be more excited. We leave tomorrow and I'm really hyped, and I think that it's going to be like a new hobby of mine because I always turn random shit into hobbies that I'm overly obsessed with. So that's going to be my new shit. And then the last thing is, also on the travel tip, I bought tickets to Japan. I am so fucking excited to go snowboarding in Japan. My friend Dylan from Australia that I met on a photo shoot, we've just kept in contact. He's a real good dude. And he happens to have a mate that lives out in Japan who like owns a hotel in Japan at the bottom of a snowboard mountain, at the bottom of a mountain that people used recreationally for skiing and snowboarding. And he has been hyping it up because we went to Mammoth last year. If you guys have been listening for a long time, then you know, like, I went to Mammoth in January, and it was with Dylan and Dom and other people that I associate with. And and it was fun. And we've always been talking about, like, oh, he's been talking about, you got to go to Japan. Snowboard is the best snowboarding ever. It's the best snowboarding. And last year, to tie this all in a pretty bow, I was on a camping photo shoot with a bunch of pro snowboarders for a company and was talking to them. It was like Mark McMorris and Zach Hale and these like real world-class snowboard dudes. I was like, where's the best snow at? And all of them were like, you got to go to Japan. It's the best. That's the best snow I've ever ridden in the world. And so then Dylan's telling me like, oh, you got to go to Japan. It's the best. I have a mate that has a fucking hotel. We could stay out there for free. And so we've been talking about that for almost 2 years, and I finally booked the tickets going in February. And you won't believe this, but I got the tickets for only $70. The round trip, it only cost me 25,000 airline miles and about, I don't know, $30-something dollars each way. So it came out to 50,000 airline miles and $70. So I'm basically getting a free flight to Japan and staying there for free. And then from what he's told me, the lift tickets are only about 30 USD and you get a lunch voucher with that. So I'll get to snowboard all day for fucking $30 and get an amazing Japanese lunch. And I'm thinking that I'm going to be able to pull off a full like 9 days in Japan for under $500. And I couldn't see myself passing up a deal like that. So I'm not usually much of a traveler unless I'm working. Like, I like to travel for work, but I have never been much of a just like, I've never had a lot of wanderlust as far as like get out there and see the world. But I have always wanted to go to Japan. I've had an infatuation with Japan for a long time. But I also like love snowboarding. And so I get to kill two birds with one stone and go out there to hopefully experience some really great riding. And that is the summary of everything that has been happening in my life up to date. I'm trying to think if I missed anything. I don't think I did. So I'm going to get into my conversation with Knight Lavelle. Like I said, if it's your first time coming to the podcast, thank you guys. I hope you stick around. We got a lot of other good interviews you can go back and listen to, like the one last week with Wicca Faze or Wi-Fi's Funeral previously. Like, I feel like we've been on a roll, and I'm really happy and inspired right now with the guests that we've been having. And I'm really enjoying kind of delving farther into new rap scenes that I was not as familiar with previously. So without further ado, here is my conversation with Knight Lavelle. But yeah, like we were just kind of talking about outside, I had you booked like when the night and day, or the day and night festival was going on, but you didn't get into the States. What happened?
Yeah, so we got to the border, and then like since I didn't have my visa, they like, okay, I made the mistake last time. What I'd do before I got my visa is I'd try to like sneak into the States. I'd just say I'm going to visit and some shit.
What's it, like a work visa?
Yeah, like a P2 visa, like some temporary type of.
Yeah.
Can I swear on this?
Yeah, yeah.
Okay, so some temporary visa. So I made the mistake last time I had a New York show. I said I was going for a show, and then that just fucked everything up. So ever since then, they found my like SoundCloud, they found my Instagram. So for day and night, I said I was just going to visit, and then they're like, "Well, we see you're going for a show on your Instagram," and I was like, "Fuck!"
So
they said, "Do you have proof that you're not getting paid?" And I was like, "No," and then they just denied me like right there. I had to go back home.
So the feds are like really watching your social media.
Yeah, bro.
I didn't know that.
It sucks.
I didn't even know it was like that. Yeah, that's real crazy.
It sucks, man.
So how'd you work it out this time?
So I mean, like, the visa, it's a fucked up process. Like, it took a little while, but it was worth it because we needed it to come. So.
Right.
I don't know. It took 2 weeks to send in the application or some bullshit, and then like another 2 weeks to get it back, and then you had to wait for it to get approved. A whole bunch of shit. But as soon as we came back, we started on it and got it in time for this. So I'm good now for like a month until I get my permanent one.
Fantastic. Because right now you're on tour.
Yeah, exactly.
Is this your first headlining tour?
First American, like North American headlining tour. Yeah.
Yeah. How's it going so
far? It's good. It's good, man. Like, I feel like California is like my favorite. I haven't even been to like the other places, but I feel like California is my favorite out of it already.
California has it attracts artists.
Yeah, for sure.
It's definitely just conducive to artist vibes because it's good weather.
Exactly.
And there's a lot of creatives here and it keeps people happy.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. Do you ever see yourself moving here? There you go.
I mean, like, if I get rich as fuck one day, I might buy a house out here, but
right.
I feel like I can't live anywhere else but home. Like, it's just
not. And home is in Manitoba?
No, home's Ottawa.
Ottawa.
So it's like 4 hours from Toronto.
Okay.
You obviously know where Toronto is.
Yeah, everyone, I know where Toronto is.
It's like 2 hours from Montreal.
Okay.
It's the capital of Canada.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, the capital city. Yeah.
Is it, but it's much smaller than Toronto?
Yeah, it's like Toronto like has like a 4 million population maybe. Ottawa's like 1 mil.
Mm-hmm.
So it's like, yeah, it's pretty small.
Yeah. How did the family end up in Ottawa?
So my mom is from St. Lucia. In the Caribbean.
Okay.
One of the islands. It's close to like Barbados.
Yeah.
She moved here when she was 12. My dad moved here when he was 16, maybe, from Jamaica.
Yeah.
And they met. I feel like they have the same birthday. It's like a funny story. So like they have the same birthday and that's why they started talking or some shit.
Hey, that's the key,
that's
though.
That's what this tattoo is right here.
Oh, that's their birthday.
Yeah, yeah.
May 28th.
Yeah.
Okay.
So they have the same birthday and then they started talking and then they moved. My mom, okay. So my dad.
When you say moved here, you mean to Canada?
Yeah.
Okay.
So moved to Canada.
Yeah.
They moved to Ottawa together.
Yeah.
They had me, and then my dad lives in Toronto now. And my mom still lives in Ottawa.
Okay.
So they split up, but they're still cool. Like, they still talk to each other.
So both of them have, like, thick Caribbean accents?
No, because my mom moved to Canada when she was 12.
Right. So she
it's
lost
like,
it.
Exactly. Like, she can, like, do it. Like, if she calls people back home, she'll, like, switch it.
Yeah.
But, like, she doesn't really have an accent anymore.
But your dad does?
he can too, but yeah. Like when he makes music, like now he'll switch to his like Jamaican accent, but he can talk like any normal like Canadian.
Which is so funny because listening to you talk, I feel like it's that like half Canadian accent, half yeah, patois accent.
Some people
that, like,
say that.
Drake
I don't
kind
notice
of tries
it.
To impersonate. Yeah, it's like
that. That's
like
the whole could, Canada thing.
Yeah, right. Yeah. You would be really good at being like cock up your boom pass.
Yeah, that's the whole Canadian thing. Like. It's because
there's
so
big
many
island influence
exactly,
out there, right?
Exactly. So that's why everyone kind of we adopt that slang and like mm-hmm. everyone throws that in the vocabulary and shit like that. So,
mm-hmm. yeah. What did they move out here for? Like just the families came?
I feel like for better, probably like opportunities and stuff.
Yeah.
Like my family kind of my mom's the only one that really like is open-minded to me like making music and not going to school, because the whole reason like my grandma and my mom moved here is for better opportunities for children, like any typical, like, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
So I don't know, my mom, like they don't like my like aunts and stuff, they don't really understand like what I'm doing really, like they don't understand that you can actually make a living,
right?
Off, you know what I mean? But
right.
I guess it's just a matter of time before.
Well, and you have a really good jump start at it, obviously. Yeah. Like it caught on, it seems to be catching on pretty fucking quick.
Yeah, yeah.
Right. Like, so do they, is there times that they see stuff happening with you where they're like, oh yeah, I get it, like
exactly.
this is really working
out? It's kind
of
like when I tell them I'm going on tour, then they're like, oh well, I guess he's going on tour for a reason, like people actually listen to his, I feel like now they're starting to see, like slowly now,
right?
Since this tour started,
right? I always wonder about that, like with the context of it, like because I get it when parents would be concerned if it's, because it's clear when it's not working,
exactly.
But at the same time, when it is working, it might not make sense to that older generation.
Yeah, and there's that.
I look at your numbers and I'm like, oh, this is like working, like this cool, this kid's already got a career.
Yeah,
you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
And like
there's that, and there's like my mom's the type of like, she's cool because like, I mean, it's working, but even if it wasn't working, as long as I love it, she's happy that I, you know what I mean?
Yeah,
so it doesn't really
good.
Matter that it's working or not. As long as I love what I'm doing, she's happy. So.
Right, right. Do you get to go back to the islands and visit?
I do. I haven't been to Jamaica yet, but
really?
I've been to St. Lucia where my mom's from.
Yeah.
But that was like years ago, like maybe like 7 years ago or something.
What was it like?
It was good, bro. It was good. Joey Badass is also, his parents are from St. Lucia too. He shot a video there. I was going to go back to shoot a video, but he already stole my idea, so I can't even do that shit anymore.
Goddamn you, Joey Badass.
But yeah, St. Lucia is really nice. It's
right,
really nice. Yeah.
Right. So how did they decide on Ottawa? Do you know?
I actually don't know. At the start, like, I feel like, because everyone that usually, okay, all the Caribbean people that move to Canada always go to Toronto
mm-hmm.
and Vancouver. There's a lot of Asians in Vancouver too, but it's usually Toronto and Vancouver. So I always ask my mom like why she came to Ottawa and stuff.
Mm-hmm.
She always said it was because it was like a safer place.
Mm.
And I used to be like bummed because like I thought Toronto was always the better place and stuff.
Mm-hmm.
But I guess it worked out in a sense because like I'm helping Ottawa become something that it like never really was. You know what
right,
I mean? So I guess
right.
it worked out for the best that...
Right, because I hear the term Ottawa, and I just think of, like, the woods
yeah,
and hockey.
I mean,
you know what I mean?
I mean, it's pretty much, like, that, for the most part, that's basically what
right.
it is, but...
Well, but then I hear your music,
exactly.
and I see your videos,
yeah.
and I see this, like, weird, dark rap scene happening,
exactly.
like, where you're utilizing the fact that it's, like, woods and cold, and
exactly.
it, like, reflects in
yeah.
your music.
It's all about using it, like, it's all about putting on where you're from, like, there's so, the thing about Ottawa, like, Canada in general is, like, Toronto's, like, the, that's, like, the New York, you know what I mean?
Right.
Like, I feel
and
like,
Vancouver's, like, the LA.
Exactly. So, like, back in the day, I guess, like, early 2000s, people would move, like, if they lived in Ottawa, they'd move to Toronto because, like, there was better opportunities
right.
and stuff.
Right,
but now, because of the internet, like you really don't have to
right.
do that shit. You know what I mean? So
yeah, you can yeah. thrive and become a national hero from
exactly.
like wherever you're
exactly.
at.
So because of that, like no one from Ottawa, like there's people from Ottawa, but then they move to Toronto and then they like, they claim they live in Toronto now and shit. Like, you know what I mean?
Uh-huh.
I just want to be the one that stays in Ottawa and does everything from where I'm from and puts my city on to help it become better, because
right.
everyone just leaves it and then it just
right.
stays in the same place.
Is Cadence Weapon from Ottawa?
Who?
Okay, never mind. That's a rapper from like my generation. I
yeah,
feel
yeah.
like there's a dude named Cadence Weapon who like used to get mad pitchfork love, and I knew him just through internet forums.
Yeah, yeah.
I feel like he was from Ottawa, but
maybe,
I'm not sure.
Maybe.
Anyway, sorry.
Yeah, yeah.
He's a half generation older than you. Okay.
Yeah.
Well, so I people on the podcast are sick of me hearing saying this, I'm sure, but I'm from Alaska.
You're
so,
from Alaska?
Yeah, I'm from Alaska. So I grew up in the cold and in a small-ish town as well, a much smaller town than Ottawa, I'm sure. But What are the winters like? Because I don't think a lot of people get to experience that.
Winter in Canada in general is fucked up. Right. It's worse in Ottawa because we live in a valley. So right. everything's just exaggerated. But mm-hmm. yeah, the weather gets, you guys use Fahrenheit.
Yeah.
In Celsius, it's like, we get to up to minus 30, minus 40.
Well, and at minus 40, that's when they even out. So my hometown would get to minus 40 for 10 days straight. And we call that a deep freeze.
Yeah.
And so that's when Fahrenheit and Celsius meet up at negative 40. So negative 40 in Celsius. Is the same as Fahrenheit, and it's fucking cold.
Yeah, it's cold.
That's that kind of cold weather where you go outside and you can throw a cup of hot water in the air and it turns into ice.
Exactly. Yeah. I've done that shit so many times.
Yeah, same. I mean, yeah, I remember just like going outside and doing that and trying to pee outside to see if it would do that. You know what I mean? Like, will it just turn into fucking ice crystals?
Yeah, exactly.
It's crazy. How was that on your mentality as a kid?
The winter?
Yeah.
I feel like it helps because you kind of...
Oh, it helped you?
Yeah. It doesn't... I mean, no one goes outside in the winter.
Right.
It like changes your mood and it brings out different types of, you know what I mean? Like,
are you guys a place where it's dark most of the time in the winter too?
No. Okay. It's pretty normal. I mean, it gets dark early in the day, but like not all day.
Okay.
But yeah.
I grew in Alaska. It's above, it's like almost by the Arctic Circle where I was at. And so it's like, during the winter, we only get like 2.5 hours of sunlight.
Are you serious?
Yeah. So that, on top of the cold weather, leads to so much depression. Yeah. So I was wondering if you guys go through that.
Depression could work out in means of like creative stuff. I mean, but yeah, I don't really go out that much in the winter. So I'm always like in my house, like figuring out what I want to like write or make a beat or something. Yeah, right. It just helps me. So.
Right. Totally. Because it forces you to have nothing to do.
I feel
work.
Like the sunlight, as good as it is, it's kind of like the devil in a sense, because you just want to go out and then like you forget like what like your job is and shit. Like, you know what I mean? You just enjoy it too much. And then you need something to like ground you and like bring you back to.
Totally.
Right.
Right. So, what were you into as a kid then when you're in school? Were you already a writer and an artist and stuff from an early age?
I was into like video games and like I was a heavy gamer. Like,
so you were already down with just staying inside
of all the time, bro. Yeah. All the time. Like my mom would get mad at me. Like I didn't go out. Like I'd stay inside. I'd come home from school, go straight to my room, play video games. Uh-huh. I'd leave my room to get food, come back, play video games.
Really?
Like, I never went out. Like I was like an awkward, like, I always stayed inside. I didn't go out to parties. I didn't do, like, shit.
I would have never guessed that. You seem like the most social type of dude.
I didn't do shit.
Really? What is the first video game system that a 19-year-old gets nowadays? What was your first system?
My first system was a Nintendo 64, I think. Yeah, Nintendo 64. I had, like, Mario Kart on there.
Yeah.
007 or some shit.
Oh, yeah, GoldenEye.
I got it, like, used at some thrift store, though.
I was going to say, that seems like maybe an older system.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
And then after that, I moved to, like, well, I got, like, Game Boys and stuff like that.
Right.
And then after that, I moved on to the PS2, PS3.
So that's but that's the one that like really sucked you in with the PS2 and PS3.
Exactly.
What were your games?
Call of Duty.
Okay.
Modern Warfare 2, COD 4, Black Ops 2, like every Call of Duty, like I had it. Every single one.
Okay. And so this might seem like a dumb question to younger kids, but for me, like, we didn't grow up having video games where you could like talk to people online and stuff like that. So is it something where that's kind of like you meet people that you keep in touch with? Like when you're playing online Call of Duty, do you end up ever like meeting friends that you end up working with?
Yeah, I had this like clan on Call of Duty that I like added on Facebook. I mean, I kept in touch with them for a while, but after I started to stop playing video games, we kind of just stopped talking.
Right.
There's a lot of people that I played video games with that I still have on Facebook and shit like that.
Right, yeah. I was going to say, because it's one of those things where I've never met somebody through a video game, but now I hear of people like getting married through video games and shit.
It's the internet, bro.
Yeah.
It's the internet.
It's an amazing thing. So you say that your dad lives in Toronto now. What age did they split up? Like when, or like what age were you?
Shit, what? I don't even remember. I was like young.
Yeah.
And I think when they split up, he stayed here for a bit. Uh-huh. And then he moved to Toronto. And now I have two more sisters on his side.
Okay.
So, and I have a brother on his side.
So you're the only child from those two, though?
And yeah, okay. Exactly.
Right.
Yeah, exactly.
So are you close with your half siblings?
Yeah. Every time I go there, I'm with them.
Cool.
Yeah, of course.
So is that something where you end up spending a lot of time in Toronto then, back and forth?
Yeah. I mean, like, I'll go there. I'll try to go there as much as I can.
Mm-hmm.
And then spend time with my dad and shit, and then I have like a whole bunch of other family members on his side too that I spend time with, and my manager's from Toronto too, so I'm there even more for that. So yeah, I'm always in Toronto.
How'd you meet your manager, Jonathan?
the internet.
Okay.
So that's also a funny story. We were on Twitter.
Yeah.
And then someone like retweeted him or some shit.
Yeah.
And I DM'd him. I'm like, yo, what are those jeans you have on in your picture?
Uh-huh.
And then he's like, those are some H&M jeans or some shit like that.
Right.
Ever since then, we started talking.
Yeah.
It wasn't any manager shit back then, but
right.
I was making beats back then.
Uh-huh.
And he'd always say my beats were sick and stuff.
Uh-huh.
This is when I didn't even like rap or anything.
Right.
And then I dropped my first like... I dropped Dark Light, actually. I dropped that.
Yeah.
And then after that, he's like, yo, do you want to take this serious? I was like, yeah, why not? And then after that, he just started managing me.
Nice.
And ever since then.
Yeah, I was going to say, like, I deal with a lot of managers. I deal with a lot of people. I feel like you got a good one on your hands. I like Jonathan. He's a good dude.
I feel like it has to be more of, like, a personal relationship before any, like, manager type. You know what I mean?
Right.
That's what keeps everything together and strong.
And even beyond that, just as a dude that, like, has to talk to so many managers... He seems on top of it. Like,
yeah,
he's
yeah.
so personable. And a lot of managers can be assholes.
Yeah, I know.
I mean?
Yeah,
you got a good one. Good job. Good pick. Has he moved to Ottawa or he still lives in Toronto?
No, he still lives in Toronto.
Yeah, yeah.
So because of the internet, I guess, everything's easier. Like, it doesn't really... We do everything apart, so...
Right.
Yeah, the internet makes everything easy.
So folks split at a young age and you get into video games. What was your mom doing for work?
She, at that time... I don't even remember, to be honest. And... She works at the hospital now for food services.
Okay.
I think back then she was she worked at like Walmart or something like
right.
that, I think. And my dad is a web designer.
Oh, your dad's a web designer?
Yeah, he still is to this day. Like, he makes my websites and shit.
Oh, sick.
He made like the Mark Echo website, like
no
the watches.
Way.
And you know Ashanti?
Yeah.
Yeah, he made her website and
really?
A whole bunch of, yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
And so your dad also used to be a musician, you
yeah,
were saying.
Yeah, exactly. So when he stopped that, he kind of switched over to like the marketing web development type shit.
And, right. And but he still gets to like kind of be involved in music, it sounds like.
Exactly,
in
yeah.
a way.
He wants to... I think low-key, what he wants to do is make some kind of, like, comeback.
Yeah.
I'm sending him, like, a whole bunch of beats. I think he's going to make, like, a short comeback, like, EP or something.
No way. Yeah. That's tight.
Yeah.
You said his name, his Renegade. Music name was Renegade.
Renegade, yeah.
And so, he was up in Ottawa making music, right?
Yeah, so he started making music in Ottawa. And during the time he lived in Ottawa, he was in, like, LA making music. He was in... like Oakland making music, San Francisco. Then he got a job in San Francisco and kept making. He was all over the place.
Yeah.
Yeah. So he loves the West Coast. Like,
right. And so he moved down to LA for a while in Oakland,
yeah,
you say.
Exactly.
And how long was he here for?
I think like a few years.
Yeah.
A few years. And then he got married and then came. They drove back to Toronto.
Uh-huh.
And then they live in Toronto now and had my two sisters on their side.
Right.
So, yeah.
Does he have any like big music accomplishments? Like, what do you think is his biggest like fucking hit or something?
I feel like his like most fire song, it's this song called Mac and Thang by Renegade. Yeah, he recorded that when he was in Oakland, I think.
Uh-huh.
It's so fire.
Is it on the internet?
Yeah, it's on the internet.
There you go. If you guys are listening, go look up Mac and Thang.
It's so fire.
Is it?
Yeah.
Was it like dancehall?
No, it's like West Coast sound with like a dancehall type vocal flow, like, you know what I mean?
Right. About what year was this that he's making this music?
Probably 19. I think it was before, a little after I was born, so maybe like 1998, something like.
Okay. Yeah. Yeah. So like during peak Bad
Boy. It sounds
era.
Like yeah, exactly.
Right.
Like it sounds like old.
That's tight.
Yeah.
What sounds old to you? It probably sounds like when I was listening to in high school.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
A context.
Yeah.
That's tight. So you have music in your veins. Was your mom musical as well?
No, she likes music, but she never like really made music or anything.
Right.
When they were together, like, she'd always like, she'd be with him when he was recording and stuff. She's always around music and stuff.
Right.
So I guess that's what makes her so open-minded to me doing it. Because
right.
when she was with my dad, he was the exact same.
So it wasn't something where you're around the house and it's just like island vibes on all day.
I mean, I feel like that's one of my inspirations, actually, because my mom would always play, like, in St. Lucia, they listen to soca music.
Oh, yeah, I know
it's
soca.
Like really like fast, like up-tempo type, you know,
like
what I mean?
Dance music with heavy, like kind of very like spastic drums. Dense drums.
Exactly. It's like all over the place. I feel like that's like soca music's one of my biggest inspirations.
No shit.
Yeah.
That's funny. Listening to your beats, you make your beats?
Some of them, yeah. Some of them.
I want to compliment you on your ear for beats. I think like your ear for beats and your voice are like both super strong suits for what you do.
Thank you.
But I would have never guessed that soca music was an inspiration.
Yeah, I mean, like,
to your
not the actual music per se, but I feel like the whole culture, like, they do stuff with nothing, kind of like they don't really have that much to do back then. You know what I mean? So,
yeah.
And they still make it sound good.
It's such a joyous music.
Exactly.
Soca.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
It's just the way they do.
Which is also kind of like counterintuitive to your music style, because your music, you're much happier in real life than I would have guessed listening to your music. Like, it's very dark. You know what I mean?
Yeah, that's just. I feel like that's just the music side of me, all that dark stuff. In person, I'm not depressed. Like, people think I'm, like, depressing in real life and shit. Like, nah.
That's just what you just, like, it's just get emotion it out using that.
Exactly.
Yeah, right. So, latchkey kid, you just played video games a lot. Did you have friends at school or what?
Not really.
Really?
I mean, like, in high school, I had, like, 3 actual friends.
Really?
Yeah, I didn't really, I stayed to myself. Like, I didn't go anywhere.
Were you a late bloomer or something? Like, you're a big, tall, handsome dude, bro, man. Like, no homo.
I just really stayed to myself. I was, like, always shy. Like, I was always, until I graduated, I feel like music helped me, like, get out of that, kind of, because it got me, like, exposure and stuff.
Right.
And doing this, you're always around a lot of people.
Right.
So I feel like that helped me kind of.
Well, it's so funny because, it's instinctually sounds like, oh, he's talking about this person he used to be, but this is only a couple years ago because you're, like, fresh out of high school right now. Mm. So you were, like, all the way shy up until just a couple years ago.
Exactly.
Really?
Yeah, bro.
Was there a moment that, like, broke you out of your show, you think?
I feel like it was my first show.
Okay.
Because, like, I always make this comparison. Like, in school, I'd hate doing, like, presentations and shit.
Mm-hmm.
But for some reason, like, when I get on stage, like, I just don't get that same feeling at all.
Mm-hmm.
And ever since then, I figured, like, this is what actually, like, made me kind of get out of that whole shell type thing.
Right.
So,
where was that first show?
That was in Montreal. It wasn't my show. It was a DJ Smokey and Young Simi show.
Oh, yeah.
And I was one of the, like, opening acts and stuff.
Did you, like, pay to play, or did you know somebody? Does somebody knew your music? Or
I got
something?
Like $100.
Right.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah.
It's funny because, like, they actually didn't show up.
Yeah.
Because they got in, like, some kind of car accident or something.
Oh, no shit.
So I had to be the headliner, uh-huh. And it was my first show. So I was so scared. But then I got on stage, and then I was like, "Hey, this is fun."
And what year was that? 15? 14?
That was January of 2015.
That's so recent.
January. Yeah.
That's so crazy. And so had. What's your big video called?
Dark Light.
Yeah, had that already been released?
That was, yes.
Okay.
When I dropped Dark Light, I dropped the video at the same time.
Okay.
So that was already out, and then I dropped the album after that.
What is it?
Concept Vague.
Concept Vague.
Yeah.
I knew
dropped
it was something
album
vague.
In December, and then I had my first show January.
Wow. And so it started just rolling. Were people, did people show up and were already, like, familiar with the songs?
Yeah, more than a few people that already knew the lyrics and stuff. I was like, damn. I lost my voice in, like, 2 songs, though. Like, it was my first time performing.
Right, so you're probably shouting.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, people don't realize, like, you know, you gotta, like, keep your mouth calm or keep your voice calm
exactly.
while you're on stage.
I know that now.
Right. That's something it takes a long time to learn sometimes.
Exactly.
Wow. So what do you think the difference was between doing a presentation in a high school class and being on stage in front of your people?
I feel like in school, when you do presentations, everyone's kind of, like, judging you because you're, like, you're showing your work performing too, but in school it's more of like a social thing, like a social competition. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
I don't really fuck with I like people to have fun, like enjoy, like I like people to kind of like party with me. I feel like that's what a performance is, like with music, you know what I mean? In like presentations in school, it's kind of like they're trying to like find what you did wrong, and you know what I mean?
Right.
It's just too, I don't
know. It feels more judgy.
Exactly.
But when people show up to see you perform, yeah, they're like on your team already.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly.
That's good. What has your favorite show been so far?
Probably my Ottawa show. I had an Ottawa show in January.
Yeah.
And like more kids than I would have thought ever would have come out.
Really?
And it was just like, after that, I was like, wow.
What size venue?
It was, I think it was like 300 cap or something.
Yeah.
And we like filled it up. And I didn't know, I thought it like maybe like 80 kids would come or something.
Right.
And when that happened, I was like, wow. Like,
right. You're like, oh, it's starting to work.
Exactly.
Isn't that a great feeling?
Yeah.
Okay, so then let's put this in some context then, because I feel like I didn't even realize things had happened for you this quick. I mean, I look obviously at the timeline of when the records come out, and 2 years seems like a long time, but it's not. It's not a long time. And so the record comes out in December. Are you still in high school at that point?
Yeah,
December,
so I'm still in
2014.
High school at this point. So people, like, it's funny. When I dropped that album, I didn't like to talk. I didn't want anyone from my school to kind of know, like, that I was doing that. You know
right.
what I mean? So I kind of kept, like, the whole Knight Lavelle thing separate.
Right.
And then people started, like, finding out about it. And then it just became weird because, like, I was this really quiet kid. But, like, on one side, I was just dropping music and stuff. So.
Right. So no one was expecting it.
Exactly.
Did teachers hear about it?
No. They heard about it, like, after I graduated.
Yeah.
If they heard about it back then, it just would have been even weirder.
Right.
That would have been so, like...
Well, so the first record is so polished, like it sounds ready to go. Your sound is like ready. You know what I mean? Like it's presentable and it's a full package. So what's the development process for you? Like if you're secretly doing this behind everyone's back, like how does that even start?
I have no idea. My whole mentality was just to put out music and then I recorded it on like a USB mic. Like it was nothing, like, you know what I mean? Like everything, it was just fun to me.
Really?
I just put it out. Yeah.
How are you getting the beats? Just through SoundCloud and shit?
The Dark Light beat, yeah. I made myself.
Wow.
And then some other beats.
What a great sample.
Yeah, I know. I know. It was some Indian, like everyone asked me, it was some Indian sample I like found on YouTube.
Right.
That I did not clear and I hope I never have to clear because that'll cost a lot of fucking
money. I mean, knock on wood, but I feel like you'll be fine.
Yeah, I'll be good.
Like it's pretty rare to like really get sued.
And the sample is low key. Like
right.
It was like, I think it was like a live performance, so it's not even like an actual recording. Like,
right. It reminded me of like this old fucking pop group called Enigma. Have you ever heard of them? They have like weird, you've probably heard this one song where it's like this Native American singer going, oh, yeah, yeah, but they have a bunch of like weird random songs like that where they use like, like choral monks and shit like
that.
Yeah, and
yeah.
It has that kind of like strange dark vibe.
Exactly.
Well, then let's go back farther then. When do you actually start writing songs?
I wrote my first song in English class in school.
What year?
2015. Yeah, 2015. I was in English class.
2015?
Was it
2014?
2014. Okay. You're right. 2014. So in English class, I made the beat. And then I'm like, so when I first decided to actually rap, I'm like, let me just write some shit to this. Made it in English class. Went home that day. Recorded it that day.
Right.
Like made the video the next day.
Where'd you get a mic from? You just had it?
It was like, I think I got that at some like thrift store too, actually.
Right.
Yeah, my dad got my first MacBook. That's what made me like want to record in the first place.
Right.
And then I got the mic. It was like $100.
What programs did you bootleg?
Ableton
or?
I had like GarageBand.
GarageBand.
Yeah.
Okay.
I used GarageBand.
So just the shit that was already installed.
Exactly.
On the
computer.
Yeah. Wow. Yeah. So you're telling me that the first songs you ever wrote were in 2014 and those are like the ones that are ending up on.
Yeah.
That's so crazy.
I don't know how it happened.
You're a real natural.
I guess you could say that.
Who were you listening to beyond Soca? Like, cause you get grouped in with that, with the new underground.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And
I listened to all the underground. I listened to Chris Travis, Xavier, Bones, everyone. Like Chris Travis is the homie. Like he always supported me and stuff.
Chris Travis, great dude.
I still send him beats. Xavier Wolf, he's sick. I remember Chris Travis and Xavier came to a show in Ottawa.
Yeah.
There weren't that many people. It was probably like 20 people in the crowd or something.
Uh-huh.
But that's when, I don't know if you know the song, what's it called? Memphis to LA by Chris Travis.
Uh-huh.
That beat, I produced it. So when he came to Ottawa and he performed that song, he kind of like brought me out and like the crowd like went crazy.
Really?
It was so fun, yeah.
What was that last year?
It was maybe early 2014, actually, came. Yeah.
Okay, yeah. So you had already started dabbling into making beats before you started.
Way before rapping and stuff.
Really?
I was making beats.
What year did you start making beats?
I started making beats in summer of 2013, I think.
So you're like...
Into 2014, and then it slowly started turning into... Rap.
So what, you're like 15, 16 at the time?
Exactly, yeah. 16, around that, yeah.
Right. And so how did you start finding out about the underground dudes that you listen to? How did you find out about Sesh Hollow Water Boys?
So when I make beats, when I uploaded them, like the following of people and the people I linked up with kind of just brought me into that whole underground thing, you know what I mean? And
so
as
you,
I got
oh,
more
so you started
into
making
it,
stuff and then people were like, oh, you should check out these guys.
Exactly.
Really?
And as I got more into it, then I found out about everyone and just kind of...
What rap music was influencing you before you found that stuff?
I don't really know. I didn't really listen to a lot of...
Really?
Yeah.
So it was just like you just lucked out and stumbled upon like the most appropriate modern sound.
Exactly.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's crazy. That must just be like... That just must be the sound of millennials, daughter. The sound of the generation. Like
you just
stumbled upon it. That's so tight. So your first song that you record, how do you feel after you're done... making
okay,
it
really I like Dark Light. Okay, it was my first song that I put out. My first song that I actually recorded is fucking horrible.
Really?
It's still on my YouTube, but like I hope no one ever leaks that shit because it's so bad.
Wait, if it's still on your YouTube, why don't you take it down?
It's private. It's private. Okay. It's private. It's private. It's so bad. Like
really?
But yeah. And then after that, I recorded Dark Light, and then I put that out.
Dark Light's your second song ever.
Yeah.
Man, fuck you. Yeah. That's crazy. I can't believe that.
Yeah, bro.
And so, okay, so you have that song. Who do you show it to?
I showed it to my dad first.
And what did he say?
He said, put it out. I showed it to my friend. I showed like half of it to my friend. He said, put this out. So like, just because my dad said put it out, that alone just wanted me to put it out. Put it out the next day. Shot the video with an iPhone camera.
Shot that with an iPhone camera?
Yeah.
Who shot it?
My two friends, my best friends.
Right.
We shot it in like the forest and then I edited it the same night, put it out the next day.
That's crazy. I mean, okay, so for those of you guys listening who are new to Night Lavelle, look up the Dark Light video. I mean, it's a black and white video in the woods. Looks like you guys had one light, probably like a fucking flashlight or a spotlight or something.
On the phone.
It's the flashlight on the phone. It looks basically like a Blair Witch Project kind of. You know what I mean? Like, it's that. But at the same time, it has like, what, 3 million views or something?
Yeah, something like that. I haven't checked in a while.
It's got an enormous amount of views, and it's like... it's an earworm. It's instantly like the sample is stuck in your head instantly. So anyway, that's insane to me. That's your second song ever. Yeah. And it just happened accidentally. But that just kind of goes to show that the best things happen by accident a lot of times. Yeah. It's almost like you can't plan out a hit.
You can't.
Right.
It doesn't work that way.
So if you put it out the next day, does it catch on immediately?
Yeah. So it catches on immediately. It didn't really start like blowing up right away. It got some like recognition and stuff. Like people would retweet it.
Right.
But like a month after, that's when it started actually like just going up.
Is that when like blogs caught on to it?
Not a lot
of blogs have really written about you. I feel like
I'm kind of like unknown. Like not many people know about me. Really.
But at the same time, your own personal social media is like astounding. You got a lot of Instagram, Twitter, everything, but really your SoundCloud, you have over 100,000 SoundCloud followers.
Yeah.
Right. So that's like people forget that SoundCloud is a social media.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Like,
it's not just a place to post music. It's really a social media.
Exactly.
So what blogs start picking up on it first?
The first real Pigeons and Planes posted the album like the day after I dropped it. It's this guy named Joe Price. He's been holding me down for so long. He's the writer. Ever since I dropped the album, anything I drop, they just post it.
Nice.
Post it. And then recently, like Ill Roots kind of.
Yeah.
That's like more recently though. Like,
right.
With more like exposure and stuff. But yeah.
It's funny that you say Ill Roots because when I saw the picture of what's your homie with the blue hair?
Waseem.
Waseem.
Yeah.
I saw a picture of you guys together. I'm like, oh, is he hanging out with Uzi? I thought it was Uzi.
Bro, everyone's calling him Uzi, bro.
I really thought, in pictures, he looks just like him. There. Hey, no shots, no shade. But yeah, so I was like, oh, he must know the Ill Roots guys. Mm. And then I was like, oh, no, that's not Gabe. So anyhow, yeah, that's what's really kind of crazy to me about the new underground scene.
Yeah.
And I refer to it as the new underground because a lot of youngsters forget that there has been like other underground scenes. This is like the second or third coming in it. But now this modern underground, like you can be legitimately famous with like next to no press.
Yep.
Like it's
all you got to do is put out the material. That's what's most important. Like, you know what I mean? Like there's no... I mean, like, promo and stuff, that comes with, like, labels, I guess. But as long as you have material, like, and you're, like, people like it, just that alone can put you in a place.
It's really a lot. It's really word of mouth.
Yeah.
Like, it's all word of mouth almost. Because trying to Google about you, you come up with next to nothing as far as, like, outside interviews or press.
Exactly.
Or, you know what I mean? Articles. Exactly. It's just little blurbs like, oh, here, he released something.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. That's so crazy to me, and it's really rad. How have the shows been going since you've been on tour in the States? They've
been good. Santa Ana is fucking wild, bro. I did not think it would be that wild.
You played the observatory?
Yeah, the constellation. Yeah,
room.
It was wild.
Yeah, that's like 450 or 500 cap or something
Yeah.
It was packed?
Yeah. I think we sold it out, I think.
I saw somebody left with like a bloody eye or something.
Yeah, that was yesterday, LA.
Oh, that was in LA.
Some kid got a bloody eye
in the
mosh.
That was the Globo show?
Yeah, that was sick too.
Really? Where do you guys head next?
We're going to Michigan, Pontiac, Michigan. I think it's like close. It's like Detroit, basically, I think. We go there in like 6 days though, so we have time.
You have time off.
Yeah.
Okay, so how long from after Dark Light was it where you're like, okay, I need to finish something and put it out? Like a whole project.
So I put out Dark Light. It got like 100 views, and that alone just motivated me to like keep recording. So I recorded like another one the next day.
Yeah.
And then 2 days after that, another one. I just kept going. People started sending me beats.
Yeah.
I dropped Trees of the Valley. So then people started sending me more beats, blah, blah, blah. And then I came up with the album in like 3 months, 4 months, maybe.
That quick.
Yeah.
And did people on SoundCloud start catching on to the album really fast?
Yeah. Yeah. It was cool.
One thing that I really like about your SoundCloud is it's so easy to like scour through. Yeah. I think a lot of people's SoundClouds are so fucking unorganized and crazy, and yours is like, if you just go to the playlist, you got your albums there,
it's
they're
right
as their
there.
Own playlist, and it's like so easy to digest.
Yeah.
And but also the music is like very easy to like kind of palate and understand.
Yeah.
And where do you see yourself going with it? Because I almost feel like you have this real kind of like outside of the underground marketability.
Yeah.
A lot of your songs have almost like a fucking goth DJ Mustard bounce or something. You know what I mean?
Yeah, of course.
Right?
I mean, like, wherever, I kind of just go with wherever I feel I should. Like, people, like, with my new album, what, like, my main goal was to kind of, like, show people what I can also do. And I'm lucky I have the type of fans that just, like, kind of ride with me wherever
right.
I go type shit.
Right.
So, yeah, I mean, like, my mind is always changing and my inspirations and stuff. So I really don't know where I'm going to go, like, in the future, but.
That's kind of one of these topics that I've been borderline obsessed with lately is, like, how fans react to people's music and how it affects the artistry now that fans have so much access to the artist, right? So you're in this scene that's like thrives and loves the fact that these artists are quote unquote underground, even though hundreds of thousands, if not millions of people know about you. Like, it is considered underground because mainstream press does not cover it.
Exactly.
Right. Do you get fans that are like already telling you like, hey man, don't fucking sell out. Don't go mainstream. Like, keep it underground.
I feel like that's like a fan's job though. Like, you know what I mean? To not want like, they just love you so much that they don't want you to like blow up and then they feel like it's going to ruin your, you know what I mean?
Right.
And in some cases it does, but.
Were you ever that type of fan for anybody?
Nah.
Yeah.
I feel like whatever, if you really like support your artists, wherever they go, you just follow them. And you don't need to like the music, but that doesn't mean you don't support them. Like, you know what I mean?
Right. Because I'm always from that angle of like, man, if you love something, let them get
let them
fucking
do it.
Paper.
You gotta
be like
a mom or something. Like,
right.
Just
you can't be mad at your favorite artist if they write a radio.
Yeah, exactly.
Right. So touring Canada, did you start that after,
Concept Vague.
I'm sorry. I keep forgetting the first C word. All right. So Concept Vague, after that comes out, do you go on Toronto tour?
So I did the Montreal show.
Yeah.
And then after that, I had like a little Toronto show. And those are the only two shows I did in Canada. Then I had the Ottawa show like in 2015, January.
Yeah.
I've never been to Vancouver. I've never been to like Calgary or anything. But those are the only three shows I had. But we have like a little short Canadian run at the end of this tour. So that's going to be my first like actual Canadian tour.
Really?
We got Ottawa, Toronto, Vancouver, Montreal.
Yeah.
So.
Have you guys taken advantage of the grants that you can get in Canada as an artist?
Oh yeah, of course.
Tell me about that. How does that work? Because American artists should all be so jealous of this.
Yeah.
So tell me about these.
I mean, like, Canada's a different place when it comes to music, bro. Like it's a hard topic. If you're from Canada, since there's not that many artists, you get a lot of support. Like, it's more than, like, some Canadian artists, when they come to America, they feel like they're going to get more support in America, but they don't.
Right.
So that's why it's kind of easier to, I feel like it's easier in a sense to get love in Canada, but marketability is different because there's obviously not as many people.
Right.
But yeah, I don't know.
Like going platinum over there is probably less records or something like that.
Exactly. Like, so, unless you're Drake, obviously.
Oh, but right.
Yeah, exactly.
So do you think that I want to do this without throwing shade at Canadian artists or like showing opinion at Canadian artists, but do you think that some Canadian artists like rest on their laurels and just get comfortable like staying and thriving in Canada?
I mean, yes and no. Like, I feel like, okay, everyone could do whatever they want, but if you want to be a true, there's artists that'll make music and just get comfortable, but some, like, if you want to be an actual worldwide, like, if you want to become something worldwide, then you can't just stay in Canada.
Uh-huh.
I feel like Drake's doing a great job. Like, he's all over the place. Like, he's one of the most, like, if not the most known rapper right now. Like, he's doing it good. There's some artists that just, like, feel like they can stay in Canada and I don't know. If it works for them, they could do it. But me personally, like, as much as I love Canada, I want to become, like, a worldwide artist and not just a Canada artist. You feel me? Like,
right.
Yeah.
Right. So tell me about the grants. Like, what are the grants that you can apply for? Like, how does it work? What is that? Like, how does Canada support its artistry?
Because grants, like money and
stuff? Yeah, like money grants. Have you gotten any of those?
Nah.
Oh, okay. So I hear about, like, rappers that get, sometimes the Canadian government, if you, like, apply for it, they'll give, like, $20,000 grants to, like, film a music video and shit like that. Have you heard of that?
I've heard of labels giving you that type.
No, dog. The government will do it.
Canadian government?
You and Jonathan got to look that up, bro. I swear to God.
Maybe he's told me about that before. And I'm just like, I didn't even.
I have multiple artist friends that have gotten grants from the Canadian government where it's just.
Are they Canadian?
Yeah,
they...
Canadian.
Wow.
The government supports the artistry to a point where, like, okay, if you show that this is like Canadian art with value, like, they will support it. And it's like, oh, you want to make a music video? Boom.
Yeah, I feel like they wouldn't think my music's Canadian.
I'm talking about rappers have done it. Oh, I know rappers that have done it.
Who has done it? Like,
I'll tell you off air because, there's no reason to call them out if I'm wrong. But I know that people have gotten them, and I know that, like, the government will help you, dog. You just got to, same way you did that visa.
Facts.
You could, like, actually make the Blair Witch movie. Rather than just with your iPhone, dog.
Facts, bro.
Yeah. how long was it until you started working on Red Teenage Melody?
So I dropped Concept Vague, when was it again? December
2014. Yeah.
So I started, I dropped Still Cold, like the song, mm-hmm. in February. I was working on some songs, but I didn't have any particular inspiration to work on another album in that kind of time frame, mm-hmm. until like early this year. That's when I kind of started working on Red Teenage Melody. Mm-hmm. But like...
Which came out, what, like 4 or 5 months ago?
In June.
So it's really recent.
Yeah, exactly. So I don't know. It took me like... It took me like fairly the same amount of time to make Red, like 4 months, 5 months.
Yeah.
Yeah. And I just put Still Cold on there. So,
yeah. Man, how good does it feel right now to just be like so inspired? Being 19 was like the time in my life when I was like most inspired. And like, you can't help but write. You just want to write all the time.
Exactly.
Is that what you're going
through?
Yeah,
exactly.
Right. And what are the themes that you like writing about?
See, I feel like that's what, I talked like in the title, like for Concept Vague, mm-hmm. I was kind of like a to myself kid that didn't do anything and kind of stayed home. Mm-hmm. I didn't really have any particular stories to talk about. You know what I mean? It was kind of just making music type thing.
Right.
That's why I named it Concept Vague, because there's no true meaning.
Right.
But I feel like with Red Teenage Melody, like I have more like backstories, like whether it's like, I don't know, breakups or just people trying to fuck with me or some shit like that. But yeah, I don't know. I like talking about recent stories that happened to me, because mm-hmm. they like affect me the most. And mm-hmm. that's just what comes out.
But they are kind of vague in that, like, they're all kind of like coded and they could be interpreted.
It's never like straight up. Like, that shit's just, I don't know. It's kind of corny to me.
You're never on some like, I went to the store today and this happened.
Nah, hell no.
Right. It's very, it's like, I don't know, darkly poetic. Mm-hmm. It's like coded kind of.
It's like a poem.
Yeah, there you go. So did your social stock start rising after Concept Vague comes out? Okay.
I mean
locally, like at school.
No, it did not. No one knew about that.
I want to hear about that.
Yeah, no one knew about Concept Vague at all. Like four, five months after, no one knew about it. For some reason, I don't know why, when I was graduating, it started picking up. And I don't understand why, because it was so late after I dropped the album.
Right.
So then it started.
You graduated in what, 15?
2015,
okay,
So for some reason, it just started picking up around there. More people in Ottawa kind of knew me.
Yeah.
And I started working on Red Teenage Melody. And after I dropped that, then that just like changed everything.
And so how does it change? Like, did you have to like throw out your video game system because you had too many girls knocking at the door or what?
No, I'm keeping my video game system forever, bro. I'll never not be a gamer. But yeah, it changed in the sense, like, I don't know, more people in the city. Like, I walk around and people are like, yo, Lavelle, what's good and stuff.
Yeah, it feels good.
People support me. The kids in the city love, like, they love that shit. Like, they just want to, they need someone to look up to. Like, you know what I mean? They haven't really had that.
Did you end up being prom king or anything?
No. Bro, I did not go to my prom.
Why not?
I have no idea. I skipped my prom. I don't know. Everyone, I felt like I didn't want to go for some reason.
As a sign of rebellion or just as a like whatever?
I don't know. It's just like, it's just too much. Like dressing up to go and like, I didn't even like any of the girls in my school, bro. Like, I don't want to take them to prom.
funny. What a man, what's high school like right now? In the I'm so far removed from it. Like, is it still like fucking teen movies, or is everything more PC now or something? Like, what's going on in high school? Tell me about as somebody who just got out of high school.
I don't know. When I was in high school, it was like I feel like back in the maybe when you went to high school,
yeah.
It was more like there's like groups.
Well, see, that's the thing.
It wasn't really like that when I graduated.
Right.
Like, everyone talks to each other.
And
like,
you know, I graduated in 99.
Okay.
And I always tell people that too. I'm like, my school, and maybe it was just a small town thing, but my school was not as clicky as it is in movies.
Yeah,
I
yeah.
almost feel like that
I
whole.
I feel like movies exaggerate
right.
it.
That's
in
like
a sense.
This like, movie trope of like jocks and nerds and fucking whatever. Like, everybody was all kind of everything.
Yeah, exactly.
Is that how your school is
yeah,
too?
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. What are people into in Ottawa?
Hockey.
Yeah. Was your hockey team super competitive?
We didn't even have a. Did we have a. Yes, we did have a hockey team. And we. Yeah, they were really competitive. Hockey. Skating, like Ottawa's a very like Canadian city, like, you know what I mean? Toronto's more like an internet, like if you come, like there's a bit of everything.
Yeah,
but Ottawa, since it's the capital, it's really like Canadian, like
really
centered. Yeah,
when you say skating, you mean like skateboarding?
Skating, like ice skating.
Oh, like
yeah,
ice
yeah,
skating.
Yeah, yeah,
that's popular there.
Yeah,
wow,
yeah,
that's
yeah.
tight.
yeah.
What do people do in the summer? Hunting and shit.
I mean, they. Since our summer's like kind of short, mm-hmm. people enjoy the summer a lot. Like, everyone's at like the beach. They mm-hmm. say the beach, but in Ottawa there's no beach. It's just like sand next to water.
Yeah.
But
right,
yeah,
like a lake.
Yeah, exactly. But yeah, we try to enjoy the summer as much as we can.
Yeah.
And it gets really hot. Like, there's no in between. Like, it's either really cold or really hot in the summer.
Right.
Yeah.
What's Ottawa like sociologically, and like the ethnic diversity and stuff like that? Is it pretty diverse? Or
yeah, of course.
Is it?
I feel like everywhere in Canada is pretty diverse.
Really?
Because it's more like an immigrant type. Like, you know what I mean? A lot of people move there too.
Yeah.
So yeah, it's really diverse. Diverse.
As a Canadian, seeing what's happening in our fucking election, what does that look like from now?
I feel like a lot of, if Trump wins, a lot of you guys are going to start moving to our country. I've heard people say it already.
Right.
Yeah. I made this joke saying that if Trump wins, I'm never doing an American tour. But obviously I was joking.
Right.
Yeah. But I don't know, man. He's like, he has like what, half the vote? I don't know. You could tell me.
The votes are, yeah, pretty much the votes here are always like down the middle, half
yeah.
and half. Like, even the last election, Obama only won by like 3 percentage points or something. And it's like, he's been such a great president
mm-hmm.
in my eyes, personally. Mm-hmm. But yeah, our country is very fucking divided. The funny thing about it, if everybody wants to like move to Canada, if Trump wins, is that the big difference between our country and your country is that Canada would probably be welcoming to immigrants, whereas America's like, our big debate is about immigrants.
Exactly.
Like, we never learned the lesson that it's like bad if you kick immigrants out. It fucking, it destroys the economy, and then it just eventually you have a big wave of welcoming immigrants again, and then
yeah.
Zion falls again, and it keeps happening and happening like the fucking Matrix movie.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Anyway, all right. Sorry to get political.
Don't worry.
So yeah, have you been happy with the rap life?
Yeah, of course.
Yeah.
I mean, it's kind of retarded sometimes.
Like, how so?
Some people in the like, there's just some people that just like, some people just have like, I mean, it's good to be confident,
yeah.
but there's some people that are just too, like, you have to be reasonable.
Some people are delusional.
You know what I mean? Yeah. Like, it's good to be confident, but some people, they just try to bring, like, they just try to act like they're above you.
Right.
And I don't really, like, fuck with that. Like, it's just like, bro, like, do your shit, I'll do my shit. Like,
yeah.
Your confidence is cool, but don't try to make it seem like you've worked harder than I have to get to,
right.
like, you know what I mean? That shit's
right.
retarded. But other than that, it's fun. Like, it's
right.
fun.
Right. Do you ever deal with, like, old heads being fucking sour at you and shit?
All the time.
Yeah.
And Ottawa is the biggest. Okay, so Ottawa's a, I wanted to talk about this. Ottawa's like
Go
a.
Go in.
It's like a government like run city where there's a whole bunch of like, you know what I mean? So when it comes to shows and stuff, like I can't really, I'm limited because if I want to have it at a certain venue, they'll try to make it like 19 plus and 19 plus here and shit like that.
Yeah.
But like, what they don't realize is that most of my fan base are kids. You know what
right.
I mean? And because like they're kind of older, and I mean, I'm not going to like bash them, but they didn't grow up in the same type of, you know what I mean?
Right.
So I'm kind of limited in a sense being from Ottawa.
There's no all ages venues.
No, there is, but it's like a hassle to find. And it's like sometimes to make it all ages, I have to make like get a smaller venue and shit like, you know,
right.
there's not as much freedom.
Right.
So I feel like because of that, it makes like, I'm giving like the kids in Ottawa a sense of like no rules type of thing when they come to the shows and stuff, so they can like have fun for the night and for the 2 hours before they have to like go home and stress about school and shit like that. So,
because you are dealing with a generation of venue owners who like aren't used to the fact that there are like mosh pits at every rap show.
Exactly, and like, I feel like in Ottawa it's worse because there's never been an artist from Ottawa that like attracts like a whole bunch of kids that want to do, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
So it kind of just, they don't understand that, really.
Right, I wonder about that in from like smaller cities, not that it's a small city, but like if that kind of underground scene where it's like, mosh pits are expected. That's like not a novelty at a rap show now. Like that's must happen.
Exactly.
Do those kind of shows make it up to Ottawa?
Yeah.
Sometimes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, like, because Ottawa, as small as it is, the shows are really good because no one goes, like, you know what I mean? Like when someone comes, everyone's there.
Event.
It's sold out. If it's not sold out, it's almost sold out. But yeah, the shows are like, I can say one thing about Ottawa is the shows, like whenever someone comes, like we'll hold them down, whoever it is. So.
Once it became established that you're part of the new underground scene, like were you, or like, did you realize or learn about Ottawa that there's a huge underground scene there?
I mean,
a lot of kids that are fans of it.
Yeah, yeah, and it's coming more into the light now,
right?
Because everyone, as like music, I feel like with what I'm trying to do, it's kind of opening. People are getting more comfortable now, so then they're, you know, even more people are starting to make music now. You know what I mean? It's just changing in general. Everything's just becoming more like mature.
Well, and whatever it happens when somebody like from a town starts blowing up, then it's like people go, oh wait, I can do this too.
Exactly. And that's what I want people, like that's why I want kids to like feel like they can do it too, like if I can do it, they can do it too,
right?
And that's what just brings everyone up together, and then it's just like a
amen.
Yeah,
let's talk briefly about your team and then we'll get out of here. So tell me, you rolled up with a big clique of guys, so like what is everybody's role?
And DJ, this guy with the red hat, Shaquille.
Yeah.
The guy that looks like Uzi Wasim, photographer.
Okay.
My boy over there, Namix. I just brought him because I wanted to bring him.
Okay.
Marv, he's my boy and he helps drive the Sprinter van because we got a Sprinter van.
Right.
Jonathan, manager.
Okay. And so how did you start meeting everyone? Well, I know how you met Jonathan online.
Yeah,
all the other guys, did you grow up with them or what?
Namix over there, I grew up with him. He's like one of my best friends.
Yeah.
Like, I've known him since like grade four. Like
right.
Grade four, grade five. But
so he's like probably good at Call of Duty too.
He's good at video games too. He's more like a UFC or like WWE type of guy.
Okay.
Like, likes those types of games.
Okay.
Shaq, I met him. When did I meet Shaq? I met him like probably like two years ago, actually, like recent.
Right.
And then I met him because we both produced. And then I started rapping, and then he liked to DJ. So he's like, I'm like, why don't you just like be my DJ? And he's like, yeah, let's do it. And we just started that.
Yeah.
Marv, I forgot where I met Marv, but I met him at some like party, and he just like held me down ever since then. Like, that's my boy for sure. Wasim, I've known for like 2 years too. I always knew he was a photographer.
Right.
So yeah, I told him to come with us on the tour. He was down.
Nice. And so is it something where like as things started to move quickly, you realized the power in numbers and that you needed to like find a team around you, or did it just kind of happen naturally?
I feel like naturally, and like I kind of just want to bring my friends with me to have fun, and you know what I mean? Like, cause some, like, I don't know, like I don't want like my friends like to be like stuck in Ottawa and not, you know what I mean? I want them to see like
live what you're living.
Exactly.
Shared experience.
Yeah, exactly.
Right. So, totally.
Yeah.
Yeah, man, I think we did it. What are you working on now?
I am working on a collab EP with Masoji. You know who Masoji is?
I don't.
He's a producer. He's based in London, but he lives in Dubai too. He's all over the place. But we're going to make like some collab EP type shit.
Sick.
And then I'm working on songs right now. I don't know any, like, there's no thoughts of an album in place, but I have a whole bunch of unreleased shit. So it's just curating a playlist or some shit.
And you've been stepping up with the videos, the new videos.
Yeah, Contraband video.
Real, like, high production value comparatively.
Yeah, it's a big jump.
Right. You have plans for more videos?
Yeah, of course.
All right, man. Well, shit. Knight Lavelle, you're a good kid, strong head on your shoulders. Looking forward to a lot of good music. I'm a fan.
Thank you. Bro.
If you guys want to check him out, where can they find you online?
You can find me Twitter at Knight Lavelle, Instagram at Knight Lavelle, SoundCloud Knight _ Lavelle or some shit.
But you can just search Knight Lavelle or on you SoundCloud could just and search it pops me. Right up.
Exactly.
Yeah. Knight Lavelle is NightLovell. Check out the Dark Light video. That was the thing that like got me hooked on it. The new record, Red Teenage Melody, excellent, really good. So yeah, man, thank you. I appreciate
it. Thank you, bro.
Yeah, you guys can follow me, Lee. Some of you guys might know me as Intuition at It's Intuition. You can follow my man behind the boards, Ben Shim, making the shit sound buttery at I Am Database, base with two S's. Follow us as a unit at Kinda Neat, where I'm going to post the what song are we doing? Contraband.
Contraband. Yeah.
Yeah. So I'll post the Contraband video on Twitter, but you will also find the Contraband video on YouTube.com/KindaNeat.
Hell yeah.
Subscribe to us on the podcast app. Search for Kinda Neat. Subscribe. You could listen on your phone every week, and you know that if you're already listening every week, make sure to go to patreon.com/kindaneat so we can keep the show ad free like we do, and you help us keep the lights on around here by pledging $1 per episode. That's $4 a month. That's like buying me a coffee, because y'all know that I don't drink. So yeah, buy me a coffee every month by going to patreon.com/kindaneat. Other than that, dude, I think we did it. This was Knight Lavelle. My name is Lee, and this was officially Kinda Neat.